gentlemen.
Get ready for
Rich Eisen.
Voice of God. Huh? Voice of God.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I still can't believe Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Which is really weird for me because most quarterbacks of the New York Jets want to get the hell out of there.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci, Jaguars general manager Trent Baalke. Coming up from CBS's Young and the Restless, actor Eric Braeden. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Facts. Factual. It is Rich Eisen. And I'll stop referring to myself in the third person. Hour number three of this program, Trent Baalke, the Jaguars. Hour two, hour number one. Had a great chat with Steve Mariucci in advance of tonight's doubleheader live on NFL Network between the Texans and Patriots kicking off the preseason writ large. Hall of Fame game notwithstanding, it starts tonight with a doubleheader that also culminates between the Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks this evening, both games live on NFL Network. There's also a big announcement involving NFL Plus and NFL Network and the Red Zone channel coming up in about an hour from now. I'll be zooming on that.
Ooh. Oh.
Yes.
All I wanted to do was zoom.
Yes, I'll be part of that big announcement.
You want to break news? Like an hour?
I kind of just laid a bunch of breadcrumbs down.
Oh,
so.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
It'll soon make a loaf.
We like crumbs, Rich.
Yeah. If you missed any of the last 2 hours, don't worry. We re-air as soon as this is over, after this hour is complete. Eric Braeden, the man who has portrayed Victor Newman for decades on Young and the Restless, is here in studio.
Yes.
First time in 4 years, he's back. And we are going to have him once again give a dramatic soap operatic portrayal of three sports rants from back in the day. And my gosh,
that's your music, Rich.
So
I want to prep you.
Well, I appreciate you, Mike, doing that. He's about to come out here. Speaking of prepping, TJ Jefferson has left the set.
Oh,
he has left the set. He is back with Eric Braeden.
Nice.
He's a segment producer right now.
Hey,
he's producing him on the three sports moments that he's going to have to give dramatic renderings on. It's coming up.
Let's go.
I wouldn't miss it if I were you.
Well, you're going to be here, so.
I mean, yeah.
No.
You're
I'm not going
right. to.
You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss it.
Back in the day when Victor Newman first came to be, when Eric Braeden first gave this character, this self-made business magnet, some life on television, you would say, don't touch that dial.
That's true.
You know, don't touch that dial.
But now it would be touch that Roku remote.
Yes.
That's what it would be right now. Keep on streaming. Speaking of which, we talked about the urinals with Jacksonville's general manager in hour number two of this program. What are you working on over there, Christopher? What do you got going on over there?
Nothing. I'm just locked in.
Okay. You are locked in.
He's locked in.
Did you just make a bet? Is that what you did?
I'm just trying to put my Rams tickets for this season.
Are you doing that right now while we're talking?
Well, Mike and I were talking about it in the break, and then I was going through, and I was like, let me just check.
Because I haven't done it yet.
We were talking about, well, it's a preseason. We're not going to be able to make it. I got prior engagements.
I get it. Rich, I'm going to go to more games this year.
I don't care.
I've made a commitment.
I don't care.
Like, I don't care.
See, that's basically like what you're saying to me if you're spending time on the air right now, like trying to sell your tickets when we're trying to talk with each other.
Well, I was listening.
He's not.
I was engaging.
He's
also,
better than
Rich, we talked about a Lions-Jaguars Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
And this is just in case Phil Mickelson's listening.
Oh, gosh.
179-1.
Oh, wow.
Are the odds on that.
So are the Chiefs and the Eagles the worst odds right now?
So Chiefs,
everybody thinks it's going to be a rematch of a Super Bowl, even though that hasn't happened in decades.
Yeah, Chiefs are Eagles are +250 to make it, and Chiefs are +350.
Oof.
So you're getting about 15-1.
So the Chiefs have worse odds to make it than the Eagles
to win their conference. Yeah,
because they feel it's a tougher conference. Is that what you're? Is that the way to read this thing?
100%. So Eagles, Niners are second, 4-1. Cowboys 6-1. Those are your three best in the NFC. Lions 11-1. Saints 12-1.
Where are the Giants?
25-1. Behind Seattle and the Vikings.
Damn, the Giants. What? You know what that is. You know what that is. That's a Daniel Jones thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a DJ problem.
Of course. Of course.
That's a DJ P.
Oh, wouldn't you say all the quarterbacks are better than him ahead? Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Geno Smith.
Say the name. Say it. Say the name.
Kirk Cousins.
There you go.
I mean, I think Kirk Cousins is better than Brock Purdy, but the Niners have a better team.
Kirk Cousins got one and done by Daniel Jones, who was the superlative quarterback that day.
It's just one day.
Well, that's the most important day.
True.
That's true.
It's the most important day.
Kirk Cousins, when they're playing each other in an elimination game. I mean, you have bad
when the
day.
Chips are down. Oh, everyone keeps talking about when is Kirk Cousins going to win under the lights on a Monday, on a Saturday, on a Thursday, Sunday night.
I think he cares too much.
He's really good.
He's really good.
The Daniel Jones slander. But nothing is more slanderous than what Dak is receiving right now. We talked about it last
week,
pal.
It's real and it's loud.
We talked about it.
It's real and loud.
Last week. Significantly so. So we got preseason games tonight.
Yep. Love it.
The Jets are...
Jets are 10-1 to win the AFC.
So what are the AFC odds? The Chiefs? Hold on, let me guess.
Sure.
The Chiefs.
Yep, plus 350.
The Bills.
Yep, plus 450.
The Bengals.
Plus 550.
Hold on a minute. Then come the Jets?
Yep, 10-1. They're tied with the Ravens, also 10-1.
Okay. Then comes the Jaguars?
Jaguars are a couple back. Dolphins 12-1. Chargers 13-1.
Wow.
Jaguars 14-1.
What's more slanderous? The Jaguars having a better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Chargers.
That's to make the Super Bowl.
Right. To make the Super Bowl than the Chargers, who they dispatched in historic fashion.
I mean, honestly, Jacksonville should be fifth on this.
Or Daniel Jones having less of a shot to make it back, adding Darren Waller than the Vikings, who lost Dalvin Cook.
Honestly, the Giants, that's really good value on the Giants at 25-1. Jacksonville should probably be about the same as the Jets, and maybe a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take super long shots, a Cardinals Texans Super Bowl is, man, I can't even do the math. There's so many zeros. Let's see. 10,000-1.
Well, let's talk about a sure thing here, shall we?
Well, I like it. Speak my language.
Shohei Ohtani. Sure thing. The only question is, does his future salary, that is nine figures, begin with a six or a seven? I'm going to say seven.
Really? The back doesn't scare you? This is like the fourth
rear end.
Every start he's had some sort of issue, whether it was blister or back.
Got it.
He's taken swings before where he winces afterwards.
I see it.
Not that the least bit concerning.
You know what?
He's 29.
I would appreciate your Red Sox going medical when the rest of Major League Baseball goes financial. You go medical. You zag like that, pal.
I'm just throwing out a possibility.
Okay. Got it. Last night, once again, I understand. Back this, blister that.
He's wincing.
Dude, you know who also wincing? Anybody in the batter's box against this guy.
Yeah.
It's
nice.
Unbelievable what he's doing. Six innings, one unearned run last night. And it's just, it's remarkable. Because again, I went Monday night when he was the designated hitter and the stadium is just filled with 17 jerseys with Ohtani in the back, either in English or Japanese. Place goes nuts for him. He is so incredibly talented. And to see him in person, there's nothing like it. There really isn't. I agree. I mean, seeing Judge is exhilarating. Who else you got? I haven't seen Acuna play in person.
I haven't seen that. But who's gonna get somebody to come out to the stadium? And I know these days attendance is up because I think the pitch clock and the shift, I think the rule changes that baseball endeavored this year. And the one that should come next is, you know, some help for the umpires. You know, the Hawkeye system that is going down in the minors right
now.
Yeah,
the challenge situation.
Absolutely.
I like that. That's a great
Absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely. Where the human beings are calling balls and strikes, but there's an ability for somebody to tap their helmet and say, I'm challenging, and they turn around and they see, like, a computer rendering of whether the ball hit the strike zone, similar to whether a ball is in or out in tennis that you've seen in those broadcasts. It's the same system. Let's go. Because it's getting completely out of hand.
Yeah,
and certainly
bad.
There are all these apps now, and there's now these umpire Twitter accounts that are
track
everything is seen.
Oh, yeah.
So it's time for baseball to get on, and they're already on it.
It's almost like a daily report card on some of these guys.
So I'm not sitting here and saying that there's, you know, an attendance problem in baseball. I'm just saying, who's going to get you? Oh, they're in town. You're showing up.
There's not. You know? I think I saw attendance is up 9%.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying.
This year, yeah.
But Ohtani's just the difference maker, pal.
Oh, if you haven't seen him play in person, you have to.
Well, you got
to go.
And to see him pitch, too. I haven't seen that yet. But just watching him, it's just, again, when he pitches next, just watch. And the thing that, how I watch him when he pitches is this guy is in the home run chase, too, and a triple crown chase. And you forget that when he's pitching.
Right.
You just forget it.
Yeah.
You forget it. Unfortunately, though, even though they came up with the win and took the series from the Giants, which is good for them.
That's two in a row. I mean,
I know,
we're on a run here. I know. It doesn't wipe out.
You look
out
at the standings, and it's just, right.
Yeah. They're just slipping.
Yeah. And the Orioles have lost two in a row since the news came out that they suspended their announcer. So there's that. Look out. The Astros are going to win. The Astros are going to win the league again.
You think so?
They're going they're going to catch everybody.
Seems like it.
They're going to catch everybody.
So we're just going to have a rematch from a couple years ago, Astros Braves?
Maybe. Maybe the Dodgers somehow break through.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Another rematch.
So
I like seeing new blood in baseball.
Yeah.
In baseball every year it just seems like, there's only about 8 teams that really have a chance to win cuz they spend the most. And
I need to see a 30 for 30 and what the hell happened to Luis Severino. You see, the Yankees started an opener last night just figuring that he
really
has a problem in the first inning, and then we found out it's not just the first inning, it's just the first batters he faces. He couldn't do it again. He just, I don't know, the guy threw 100 and then just was dominant, and he's now truly on pace for having one of the worst stretches in the history of Major League Baseball pitching. Ever. I don't know what the hell happened to him. You know.
Well, then that weird thing that happened with Rizzo where it's like, is he in a 2-month-long slump? No, he's actually suffering from concussion after effects.
The whole Yankee season. It just makes no sense. Really? It took 2 months to figure out he's got a concussion?
What is your solution to just clean house?
Yes.
Like Boone and Cashman, both?
I like Aaron Boone a lot. I just don't know if I can't figure out. Not to go full Jimmy Traina here, though.
But he's about it.
But Brian Cashman has had a long time here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time here. And maybe a new set of eyes would be helpful on that front. Because what's happening, right? They just lost 2 or 3 to the Chicago friggin' White Sox. Gerrit Cole lost.
Easily one of the worst teams in Major League
right.
Baseball.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And they lost. They started the second half of the season losing in Colorado, getting swept by the Angels. Now they've lost the series to the Chicago White Sox. Honestly, this is George M. Steinbrenner III would have literally
done. They would have
blown it the F up a long time ago.
Yeah.
But Hal just sits back and saying, maybe we can play like we're playing in May. And I don't know what it would accomplish right now to doing anything right now.
No, I think
nothing would be accomplished.
No.
But doing anything right now. Nothing. Because you know, I don't know. I've talked about the Yankees way too much for a team that's going nowhere. But it's my team, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it affects you.
We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get TJ back out here. The brilliant Eric Braden, who plays Victor Newman on Young and the Restless and has been for decades. He's coming out here next. It'll be a fun chat. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
You are an accomplished water skiing enthusiast.
Yes,
you
I
once
am.
Worked as a water skiing instructor.
Yes, I am.
When the Happy Days writers found out, they wrote it into the script,
yes.
And that's how Jump the Shark was born.
Okay, my father said to me, "Tell Gary Marshall you water ski." I said, "I'm not telling him I water. Tell him you water ski." So he told me enough times. I went to Gary. I said, "I'm just going to say this. My father wants you to know I'm a water skier, and I was a counselor in camp as a water skiing counselor. All of a sudden, I'm water skiing. I pull up on the beach. I let go of the rope. I pull up on the beach. I step out of the skis, and I go, hey, look at that, and I'm smiling. Mm-hmm. If you watch the scene, half of that smile is the Fonz going, hey, I did it. And the other half is Henry going, oh, I can't believe you did it. True.
And you are aware of the phrase, jump the shark.
I am.
And it's meaning within the pop culture.
Yeah, I am.
Right?
A young man, John Heim.
John Heim. Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
A Michigan guy, yeah. In his dorm room.
Yeah.
With his roommate, don't know his name. They came up with the phrase, jump the shark, because of that episode.
Yes.
And I met him years later. Now, this is America. He comes up with a phrase. There's a book. There's a game. He's on the radio, on the Howard Stern Network.
That's true.
Now, people say, how did you feel? With, you know, that this phrase, jump the shark. Every time they mentioned it, and it was in the newspaper, they had a picture of me water skiing. At that time, I had great legs. So I didn't care for 1 minute. We were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care?
That's
that
true.
There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true. all of Henry Winkler's remarkably fun appearances are on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our live stream on the Roku channel. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's been 4 years since this gentleman last stopped by, and it's been too long, quite frankly. The legend himself,
yes.
The man who plays Victor Newman from Young and the Restless and so much more in his legendary career. Just celebrated his 43rd anniversary on the number one rated soap. Season 50 of Young and the Restless airs weekdays on CBS. The great Eric Braden here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir? Good to see you. Yes.
I didn't realize it was
4 years ago. My God,
it's been almighty. That long. Whoa. Time flies, doesn't it, Eric?
Oh, you're looking young and strong and...
And restless?
At old.
Hey.
That you take for granted.
Thank you, sir.
Sitting on that chair behind the desk makes you restless.
Thank you, sir.
Trust me.
Greatly appreciate it.
What is the best dad
ever? Best dad ever, it says, wonderful. Yes.
That's what I've got going on right here.
Well, I'm trying to clean up my stuff so you can see it.
I just had dinner with my granddaughter last night.
Oh, great. Terrific.
She's 19.
Okay.
Yeah?
So you picked up the check.
I picked up the check.
Very good. Understood. So what sports are you watching these days, Eric? What are you checking out?
You know, Rick, I'm missing football a lot.
Okay, it's coming back.
I miss that a lot.
Yes.
Obviously, watch the NBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm. You watching the Women's World Cup?
The Women's World Cup I've watched.
You're a soccer guy. You played.
Well, I played and won the U.S. Championship in 1973.
Yes, let me ask you.
The Maccabees.
Exactly, yeah. Here in Los Angeles, California, right? Okay.
We won the final against a team from Cleveland, the Cleveland Italians. Anyway, the women's soccer.
Yes.
It all started, the most extraordinary story in sports history in America is the birth and the evolution of the AYSO, American Youth Soccer Association.
I'm very well aware of it. My children have played, all three of my kids have played AYSO soccer. Yeah.
In 1964, a German-American fellow called Hans Stieler, who lived in Torrance, he and his wife had four kids, two boys, two girls.
Yes.
He was soccer crazy. He said, I want my girls to play as well. So he came to us as we were playing at Dorsey High School, Jackie Robinson Stadium. There was a great Los Angeles Soccer League. We were warming up, and we knew him. And he said, you know, I'm going to start an organization called the American Youth Soccer Association, AYSO. Both boys and girls will play. And we said, well, good luck. We laughed.
Yes.
Very condescending about it. Girls play soccer. It's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So lo and behold, my oldest friend in L.A., Dan Tanner from Dan Tanner's Restaurant.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Gave the seed money to this fellow, Hans Stieler.
I had no idea.
$6,000-$10,000 to buy uniforms and all that.
Yeah.
That's how the AYSO started. That is why we have had the women's team in America win 3 world championships.
All born from that day.
All born from that day, right here in Torrance.
I had no idea. I thought, and I think you guys can back me up, I thought Dan Tanner's greatest gift to life was the chicken parmesan.
Yes. And the chopped salad.
And the both. I think we're all in.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yes.
But it really was, he helped seed the money for AYSO soccer.
Because I played for a team at the time.
Yes.
Owned by Jean Leon, who owned La Scala, which was the restaurant in Beverly Hills.
Another great establishment here in Los Angeles, California.
And Dan Tanner was a maître d' at La Scala.
Okay.
But he managed the soccer team that Jean Leon owned on the side.
So he went from La Scala to Dan Tanner's in the same way that Craig went from Dan Tanner's to Craig's.
Precisely. Yeah. Exactly.
This it's all coming together, and the women are Women World Cups, and
wow,
and the chicken prom's great at Craig's too.
And the chops,
okay.
Yes, precisely.
And the chops,
exactly.
And the chops out. So, is it true? Again, let's get to this here. Victor Newman is the finest in the form of Eric Braeden here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is it true that you scored a National Challenge Cup 1973? You talked about it. You scored a penalty kick in the championship game to win it all.
The first goal was the first goal of the match. We won it all together, I think, 3-2, but I scored the first goal. I was very good at kicking penalties. When I see them nowadays, the American women's national team lost in the penalty kick.
Yes, I saw that.
And I see them try all kinds of fancy stuff. Very simple. I didn't miss in 5 years. The way I did it is run at it hard and put slice on it. I will tell the goalie that corner. If you hit it hard enough and put slice, the ball goes away from the goalkeeper.
He
may touch it, maybe not, but it's the best way to kick a penalty.
So none of this tiptoeing, none of this.
All bullshit. Just run at it and boom.
Okay.
You know, hit it.
All right. So that's true. We have some. We've got Eric Braden here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have. We just chose four facts from your life's work and being Eric Braden that we need to know if it's true or false. If we haven't played Celebrity True or False in quite some time. Oh, wow. So it's good to have Eric Braden here. Hit it, please. We have some great production value as well.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, Celebrity True or False with Eric Braden here. True or False, your Young and the Restless character, Victor Newman, was originally set for a 26-week run, but became so popular after you imprisoned your wife's lover and you became a regular on the show. Is that the true story?
After I imprisoned my wife's lover,
mm-hmm.
they thought it was just the right thing to do. Good example to American manhood.
No.
You find your wife wandering around, you lock them in the basement.
So that sounds like Beauty and the Beast almost. Not to go full Disney here, but in all seriousness, though, that you originally only set for half a year, that was it?
3 months.
3 months?
3 months.
So that's the 12-week run.
It was just, I didn't even know what a soap was. I don't watch television during the day, mm-hmm. except for the Rick Eisen Show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And Dabney Coleman. You know Dabney?
Of course.
Dabney Coleman, he and I would play tennis together. He's a very good tennis player. And I said, they asked me to see some people who run a soap. What's a soap?
Mm-hmm.
He says, do it, you love it. And upon that recommendation, did I even go to the interview? And the rest is a 43-year long history.
And so it was a tennis game with Dabney Coleman that led to you agreeing to go test drive.
I respect him as an actor very much, right. And I respected his opinion. He says, do it, you love it.
And?
I hated it the first year.
Oh, really?
I hated it. I couldn't stand it. It was too limiting. It was too
mm-hmm.
The pace is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But a nighttime television show shoots between 8 and 12 pages a day. A film, 2 or 3 pages a day.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot 100 pages a day.
That's a lot of pages. That's a lot of pages.
Do you know what that means as far as learning dialogue is concerned?
Mm-hmm.
The most I've ever done were 62 pages in one day.
Mm.
And that was, we didn't think I could do it, but I did it. And you cram. And
you just go right up, you go right up and kick it, like a penalty kick, right?
Yeah.
You know, tiptoe.
Yes, exactly.
Boom.
By the way, that's a very good example.
Okay.
A lot of my
mm-hmm.
success in acting had to do with sports. Sports, you do it.
Yeah.
You may feel nerves.
Mm-hmm.
When I did Broadway, for example, with Geraldine Page, 1965, opening night was frightening. Frightening. You go back and you say, you will not intimidate me. As in sports, you will not intimidate. Every athlete is nervous
sure.
before an important game.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So that sports, in that sense, helped a great deal.
Eric Braden here on the Rich Eisen Show, continuing Celebrity True or False. True or False, Eric Braden, you were offered the role of 007 James Bond in the early 1970s. Yay or nay?
I'd done a film at Universal Studios called Colossus, The Forbin Project,
mm-hmm.
which would be a very good film for people to see now because it was about supercomputers.
Okay.
And I developed the American supercomputer and the Russian, the equivalent on Russia's side.
Mm-hmm.
And Cubby Broccoli, who produced James Bond films,
mm-hmm.
saw that film and asked me to have lunch with him and my agent. And they thought at the time that I might be from the British Commonwealth somewhere. And he said, do you still have a British passport? I said, I have a German passport.
Mm-hmm.
And the curtain went down.
That's it? That's it?
He says, they would have a revolution in England if a German played James Bond. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly.
That was the end of it. So if you were a Brit, you would have been able to
I would have probably been done doing it, yeah. Brit or someone who was a member of the Commonwealth.
Well, sure, right. I mean, obviously, Sean Connery was a Brit.
He was Scottish,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Lazenby was an Aussie. New Zealand, Canada. No, not even Canada.
So yeah. That was the end of that?
That was the end of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
True or false, Eric Braeden, the scene in which your character, John Jacob Astor IV, drowned in Titanic,
right,
was one of the scariest moments in your career. True or false?
True.
What happened?
I was done a lot of stunts. Rat Patrol, Combat, all the action films I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they came to me the night before and said, James asked if you want to do it. I said, what does it entail? Well, water will come in from all sides. And then at a certain point when you go up the stairs and turn, that will be the cue to unleash 150 tons through the ceiling.
Whoa.
I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, have you rehearsed it? He says, we can't. It's all computerized. I said,
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, let's do it, but you give me as many rehearsals as I want until I feel safe.
Yes.
So we had dry rehearsals, about 5 or 6, and thank God we did. They had, I think, 9 cameras.
Mm.
All the camera people were in a diving suit, an oxygen tank. And I said, well, where the hell is it for me? So well, you just walk from here and then as the water comes in. I said, yeah, but how far does it? Well, we don't quite know.
Okay.
Okay, so, So we drive, rehearse it a few times, and I said, okay, okay. Do you mean at this point I turn? Yes. I said, and you give the cue to the guy who unleashes the water? He says, yep. I said, we have never rehearsed that. No.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This was just before Christmas. I remember. Then suddenly, action. And the water starts coming in on the sides. What they hadn't reckoned with is that all the furniture started floating. Well, you are sitting now that started floating.
Mm-hmm.
Tables, everything. Said, whoa, holy So I am going up the stairs, and I think this may be my last Christmas or before Christmas.
You really thought that?
I really thought so.
And then the water comes crashing in?
Well, so then it gets higher and higher and higher. Suddenly the camera people disappear, but they have oxygen tanks on. And I said, so I'm walking up the stairs, and suddenly, boom, the glass ceiling broke, and all the water comes down. And I must say, I'd done a lot of stunts, a lot of dangerous situations in my life, but that scared the daylights out of me. And we barely made it. And afterwards they told me, well, you know, we had a diver up there, a professional diver, who would have gone into the water to save you. Anyway, yes.
That's true.
That was scary.
Wow. Eric Braeden here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last one for you, and then we're going to put you to work as well with reading some of our favorite sports moments from podiums. True or false, one of your close friends is Ed O'Neill, and you're also buddies with Stephen A. Smith. Yes, sir? These are true.
Yep.
How do you know Ed O'Neill?
Ed is the one who introduced my son to Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
And he knew that I'd been boxing and all that, and we always met at the same restaurant. And he convinced Christian Gudigas, who was my son, who wrote Den of Thieves and directed Den of Thieves.
Yes, sir.
And just finished doing the sequel. And my son had been in soccer and boxing. I took him to the ghetto gym, 78th and Hoover, 108th and Broadway, in the 70s and 80s. That's where I used to box. And Ed waxed poetic about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so my son has done it ever since. Now he's a black belt. And so Ed is just very knowledgeable about boxing.
Huge boxing, MMA, UFC, martial arts. Absolutely. Huge
into that. Knows everything about it.
Yes, he does. And how'd you know Stephen A.?
Stephen A., my son said, you got to be on a show.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I think my PR guy,
yeah,
arranged, and we started talking, and it turns out that he, or friends of his and relatives of his, have been watching YNR for years. That's how that came about.
But does he watch the competition? Is that true?
Well, he does. He works in the competition. I forget the show's name. And I said, you know, you're doing the wrong show, man. So, but no.
But you
Steve is one of the brightest guys I know. He is so quick. He's so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And he is, he sometimes works on General Hospital.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I forgive him, but yeah.
Well, anyway. That's Celebrity True or False with Eric Braeden. I knew that would be dynamite. So if you don't mind, once again, we're going to ask you to put on your Victor Newman finest in your mind and your heart and bring one of the great characters in the history of television to the Rich Eisen Show in the form of reading. We have printed out for you three of the best sports soliloquies that we could come up with. And if you don't mind, we'd like you to give us your best Victor Newman interpretation of these moments, Eric Braeden. Is that cool with you once again?
That's cool.
Okay, we actually have music to help inspire you. First up, Eric Braeden reading the moment on March 1st, 2000, in the bowels of the old Boston Garden when Rick Pitino told us who is not walking through that door. As once again, portrayed by Eric Braeden as Victor Newman. Please.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale is not walking through that door. Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. If you expect them to walk through the door, they're going to be gray and old. What we are is young, exciting, hardworking, going to improve. People don't realize that, man. And as soon as they realize that, those three guys are not coming through that door, the better this time will be for all of us.
Chris, you lived that moment.
It's painful. Still very, very painful. I hate Rick Pitino with the fury of a thousand suns.
Well, but so was that. That engendered the same anger. Well done,
Eric,
well done,
so
Eric.
I'm conflicted. All right.
Next up, Eric Braeden as Victor Newman recounting the moment on September 22nd, 2007, when Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy reminded everyone how old he is with this soliloquy.
That's why I don't read the damn newspaper. It's garbage. The editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade the one that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Well, we are added in the society, man. Come on, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 82 years old. Not a kid. That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
I appreciate you putting your own personal twist on it, Eric.
Yes.
Last one. Now, this one I think is directly up the soap alley, if you will. You know what I'm saying? From January 13th, 2008, Terrell Owens upset at the criticism of Tony Romo, reminding everyone who is his quarterback. Eric Braeden as Victor Newman, please.
This is not about Tony, man. You guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. We had a great time down there. You know? If you do that, it's really unfair. It's really, really unfair. It's my teammate, you know, Tony. Tony Romo was my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's just unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man. Come on. Not Tony's fault. Shit, man. Come on.
Go. TJ's lost it over there. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Eric Braeden. You're on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's funny.
You are one of one, sir. I always appreciate you coming on this show. Thank you very much.
And I appreciate you and what you're doing. And
thank you, sir.
Man, I love sports. What a job you have. You talk about sports all day.
I'm lucky. We're all lucky to be
fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic.
We're all lucky to be here. You
know. Now, I still want to see you and Stephen A.
I appreciate it.
Do a sprint.
Oh, the 40? I would have Stephen A. Smith out doing the 40-yard dash in a heartbeat.
No, but I he's injured. And he does a lot of boxing now. Mm-hmm. And he trains too hard. I said, you can't get in shape in 7 days. It doesn't work.
Mm.
You got to take your time with it. But he goes and works very hard. And then
he looks
injured.
Great. He looks like he's
lost weight.
He definitely has. Yeah, you can see that. Shape now.
Well, and or what we should all do.
Yes, sir.
You take me as a European, as a soccer player. Mm-hmm. We shoot baskets.
Okay.
The three of us.
Let's do it.
For money.
Let's. I didn't expect that that little extra juice in action. I didn't expect that coming from you.
I have a new knee and a new hip.
Okay.
I'm ready.
And how are you feeling? You feeling good?
I'm feeling good.
Fantastic. Yes. You look great, sir.
Thanks, man.
You look
same
good.
To you.
Eric Braden at E Braden on Twitter at Eric Braden Gutekost, right? On
Gutekost.
Okay.
Right.
On Instagram. Check him out right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks, again. Young and the Restless airs weekdays on CBS. Back to wrap up this show in a moment.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
What was the big break for you? Was it Married with Children, essentially? Or
well, I went to New York from Youngstown, and I was doing a lot of theater. Mm-hmm. And I did Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theaters, and so forth. And I was doing a play at Hartford Stage called Mice and Men, which is not a comedy, by the way. And I was playing Lenny.
Okay.
And then a casting director from L.A. was visiting his aunt, went to the show. Mm-hmm. And then liked the play, liked me, and then a year later, they're casting Married with Children, and they can't get the Bundy guy. And this guy's name was Hirschfeld. And he said, guys, you're going to think I'm nuts. But I saw an actor a year ago in a drama that I think he could do this. And they almost fired him. And I happened to be out there at the time for a failed pilot. Mm-hmm. And they called me in. I was playing handball at the Hollywood Y. And I showed up with my glove with the bag, you know, my bag with the gloves hanging all off it. And it was Levitt and Moyet. What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And so we started talking in the office, and then they had me audition. They said, would you mind reading? And I said, no, that's what I do all the time. And I saw the guy as my uncle, one of my uncles.
Al Bundy, you're saying?
Yeah, he was like, and the guy was a judge, but he reminded me of this guy. And what I mean is, I guess apparently most of the guys that read for it were doing it like Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners, you know, yelling and mad. Mm-hmm. Well, my uncle was like resigned. You know, life was going to be bad.
Resigned, I love it.
So, you know, we'd be like, he'd get home from work and he'd come in the house and my aunt, his wife, would say, Joe, I ran over the dog in the driveway today, he's dead. And Joe would say, what's for dinner? So it was sort of like that, right? That's how I read it, and they had not heard that tact, you know.
Interpretation.
That. No, they had not heard that. And they went, well, that's kind of funny.
Just hearing him slip back into Al Bundy and go, so what's for dinner? I love that. I love that. Back here in the Rich Eisen Show. Great great stuff with Eric Braden. For our radio affiliates that might not be on any delay, certainly our new radio affiliates. We apologize for some of the S-bombs there.
He's 82.
And he's out of you-know-whats to give. Good job, TJ. Good producing right there.
Thank you.
That was funny.
You gotta understand, man. Like, I've been watching that man like since I was a kid. My family,
all of us.
My grandmother, our channel never left CBS from like noon till four, and so I'm back there kind of producing him, it's not
cool,
lost on me. I'm like, I'm producing Victor Newman right now. This is. My life is weird.
I've had moments like that in my career too, man, where it's just like, this is wild. Like, you know, interviewing Reggie Jackson or being involved in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man, you have an endless list.
Well, no, the emceeing of the Hall of Fame the year that Carl Peterson was inducting Derek Thomas. And, and I went backstage to talk about how, you know, long Carl was talking. Because, you know, he's supposed to go 5 minutes to introduce somebody who was no longer with us, posthumously introducing. And, you know, I went back on stage and saw a guy who had gone 5 minutes exactly the length of time he was supposed to go when he introduced Bullet Bob Hayes. I've never told this story on the air. But he went to the 5 minutes he was supposed to go, and he was kind of a little bit rankled that somebody else had gone over when he could have spoken longer about Bullet Bob Hayes. And that guy was Roger Staubach.
Oh, really?
And I went back to the stage, and Roger's standing right in front of me, and he's, you know, asking me hard questions about the moment and how he would have gone longer if he'd known he could go longer. And I thought to myself two things. One, the kid in the basement watching the Dallas Cowboys back in the day on CBS with Summerall and Brookshire in the booth. And the Landry Cowboys offensive lineman would get up and set, you know.
My favorite thing.
And I thought to myself, that kid right now is freaking out. And then my current self getting read the riot act by Roger Staubach freaking out.
Freaking out.
This is Roger Staubach.
Captain America.
Upset at me. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I've had those moments.
You understand how I was feeling a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Freshman year of college, I had a poster of Marshall Faulk on my wall. And then at 2 a.m., we would gather in my buddy's room, and he had a 13-inch TV with the built-in VCR, and we'd watch the 2 a.m. Sports Center with Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott.
Look at that.
And look at us now.
And look at us now.
And
25 years ago.
And you were Marshall's segment producer for how many years on Game Day Morning?
Two? For 2013 season, which we were nominated for an Emmy for that year, Rich.
Dude, man. I mean, being Marshall Faulk's segment producer, you must have learned more football.
I say this all the time. Before that point, I thought I knew a lot about football. I played, obviously. I was a quarterback of my high school football team. I coached for a year. I thought I knew a lot about the game and how to watch it and how to take in what I saw and interpret it, and then turn that into knowledge. I knew nothing compared to what I learned that year from
He is a savant. He's a football savant. Yeah. Some questions, like, have you forgotten all that when you come here and you want everyone fired? You want everyone fired? You want everybody gone? You know,
well, that's the Dion
overreaction.
That's,
whatever.
That's getting to know Dion over the years.
Could you, if watching Dion screaming at people who don't, who didn't play good football, and he would scream, "Cut him!" Cut I would him. Cut that player by the time he got back to the sideline.
I'm out of the locker room.
That was his line. He would say, "I would," and he would scream when somebody made a bad move. Cut him!
All the time. Yeah, that was Dion.
Because when you see Peyton Manning on the Manning Cast get rankled by bad football, that's Dion. Watching football games.
It hurts.
Bad football. And he would scream. And he would scream. Cut him.
If
I was coaching, I would cut him going to the sidelines. And if I had come up to you saying, "That's going to be the coach in a molder of men of,
no way,
you know, a big time college football program."
No way.
You'd be like, "No chance.
No chance."
Well, we'll find out if Colorado Buffaloes get sent home.
Wow.
Oh, right away. They open with TCU.
TCU. Oh my gosh.
Let's go. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Brock Purdy has spoken.
Oh.
Let's hear what Brock Purdy has to say about his readiness. Oh, baby. Hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of my arm and everything. Yeah. Yeah, my arm feels great. You know, just still building back-to-back days and, you know, trying to gain all the strength that I can back from, obviously, just the rehab process of things. And I feel really confident.
Dude, saw him at the Fanatics party in
Phoenix, Super Bowl?
In Phoenix for the Super Bowl. And I don't know if he had a bag. I think he had a bag with him there or whatever. And he had, like, it seemed like a knapsack on.
He looks like a high schooler.
Or backpack. Yeah, pardon me. I know guys, my kids give me so much grief when I say, "Where's your knapsack?"
Well, there's a difference.
They don't know what. Like, when I first said that, they looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" I think he's either there or another time where I saw him. He looked like he was going to, you know, Econ 101.
It's like Shia LaBeouf in Transformers. Like, can we get him a beard?
There's a guy who needs an Arthur
mustache.
A mustache, yeah.
Stubble? Something.
No, Zach Wilson and Brock Purdy walking into
a beard or a mustache. He needs health. I can't wait to see what he does. He is on a launching pad. He is on the launching pad. Now, the question is what happens when the countdown hits one? Like, let's go. But he's on it. I mean, the team is ready for him.
Yeah, and if he performs
over 17 regular season, healthy regular season weeks in the manner in which he did the last 6 weeks of the season, and he's only going to get better, he clearly has a bright head on his shoulders and some Iowa State gumption. Look out. And a coach that knows how to dial it up and tell him, just do what I'm envisioning for you and this play.
And you will be successful.
That's all you got to do. Stay healthy. Follow along. Yep. And don't turn it over. You take him in fantasy?
Brock Purdy?
Yes, sir. Look at his stat. Pal, look at his stat lines. No. Okay.
No, I'm not taking Brock Purdy in fantasy.
Look at his stat lines last year. He runs some in too.
You think he's a top 12 quarterback?
I don't know about that.
That's your fantasy starter, top 12.
Or you draft him late, and then you might be really, really, really happy. Really happy.
I mean, give me Kirk Cousins, 10 out of 10.
13 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Which is, by the way, what Kyle Shanahan might say at the end of the day anyway, according to many.
Maybe.
Fun show, everybody.
Great show.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.